Hello?
Yes, we are. We're up.
I'm not. Ah, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Ah, damn.
What a disaster.
Yeah, that's all my fault. Again, people. My fault. I had a little engagement after work that I was attending.
And
Dan shows up literally 5 minutes before we're supposed to start.
5 minutes before the show. We have a new mixer in place and try to get everything running.
That wasn't the problem, Dan. No excuses.
Yes, that the problem was not with the mixer. The problem was with me. And, of course, for some reason, we had to reboot the streaming box. And now we can't get logged into Bin Rev Radio. Because
we're so late.
I guess
what a disaster.
There's supposed to be a button on there that allows us to disconnect from the stream. I'm not blaming BIMREV at all. They've been great and wonderful. So if you're trying to listen to us, get on one of the other streams, one of the other mirrors. Good news is, I think I got Audacity running perfectly to record the show, so people who want to listen,
I guess
to
we're downloading the archive.
Listen to the half hour of silence.
Yeah. No, you won't get a half hour of silence.
We'll cut it off.
We should put a half hour of silence at the beginning of it, just for the fun of it.
Just for everybody who hasn't had the experience. Woo! All right. And now everything's all discombobulated here. No. I don't want to play that.
Dan, keep away from the controls.
Oh. Yeah, everything.
The man gets a couple of beers in him, but it's all downhill after that.
Too many beers in me, that's a problem. Link's not here tonight. And notice how everything falls apart.
Because everything went to hell.
Yeah.
Link is the glue that binds.
That's it. Link's not here tonight. He's actually has to work, unfortunately. And what we'll do is...
But he's laughing a whole lot right about now.
I'm laughing, too. Because there's stuff on here that I should have listened to prior to doing anything. But screw it. Let's just let's play some promos and see how that works out.
Hello, this is Andrew Krauthammel, one of the Skype in regulars and one of the few Gen 2 users who listens to the Ubuntu show. I mean the Linux Link Tech show.
Hey, guys. It's Tom McFadden calling from Ontario, Canada, and I just wanted to say, nothing rocks like the Linux Link Tech Show. Keep up the great work. Also, guys, I wondered if you guys had thought about maybe doing taking Skype calls or emails or something where a user would have a problem, say, with their wireless card in their Dell laptop, for instance. And if you guys would try and answer that on the air, or if you just wanted to steer right clear away from that type of idea. Just a thought. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was our promo introduction. Introduction.
You're your buddy Andrew, right?
Yes, my buddy Andrew. We got a semi-action-packed show tonight. Obviously, from the start of things, that we didn't actually get to be. Alan, you take off.
I'm just trying to figure out what buttons to push up on the mixer here tonight.
Yeah,
we bought a nice new mixer. Alan bought it. It's quite nice.
A Euro rack.
It's like
10 channels now, and we're totally confused.
The mixer actually wasn't the problem.
The problem was the mix master.
The problem was Dan showing up 2 minutes before coming on, but a half a load.
half a load, yeah.
He's got the full one. He just forgot to push the mic button.
Yeah. Because we had to, there's just so much. We got the Audacity going here. We have the mainstream machine going here, so we get good recordings. Having to connect to all these servers. Having to worry about which server is running. Whew, so many things.
The mixer was actually the easiest part.
Yeah.
Just plugging in the same plugs from
it
the
It was
mixer.
Already set up when I got here. That's all I
well,
know.
I was here at like 7:30 because like, gee, I'll get here early so we can play with the mixer.
I wanted to be here by 7:30. Oh, traffic was horrible.
Yeah. It's,
well, the roads are pretty crappy.
It's pretty
right
crappy
now.
Outside over here in Pennsylvania. Yeah. It's snow, ice, rain mix. And
doing like 50 miles an hour through the back roads trying to get here.
Out
like,
there.
I got to get here on time. And I still screwed it up.
That's okay. So how's the OG stream going, Dan?
I don't know. Let me check.
Are you encoding it?
It's still
it?
Going. Yeah, apparently. I have 3 hours and 49 minutes of recording.
Did you figure out what the problem was last time? Because last time it died on you, right?
Yeah, that's because I was using this FireWire drive. And I think after a certain point, trying to keep up with recording live audio through a FireWire device or any kind of external device like that, I think it just, the amount of data going over the connection and trying to keep up with it chapped it out. That's what I think.
A bummer.
Yeah, it is. But I have enough space, like I said. I got 3 hours of recording time, 3 hours and 49 minutes of recording time, which is ample amount of storage, you know, space and time
for us
to
yeah.
fit the rest of this show in, because we're already an hour.
Well,
you know,
look
hour
at the bright late. Side. I mean, because we're not on Ben Rev, we don't have to cut off at 10 o'clock, so there's no excuses.
No, yeah, you're right. No excuses. No excuses. Man. I wanted to do so much research before tonight's show.
On what?
On, you know, like DVD piracy and the end of Mozilla and a whole bunch of other stuff. But, you know, here I am.
Went out and got drunk.
Yeah, went out and drank a little too much. You know what? You know what? I knew it was a bad idea when at, what was it, 8:05 when I wanted to leave.
Nobody wanted to leave?
They started pouring shots of tequila. That all was, right. I was like, nah.
And you didn't invite me?
Well. What?
You didn't invite me for shots?
That stuff is garbage, man.
I didn't buy it. It's garbage, but, you know.
Oh, no.
And then
tequila is great.
When
I love tequila.
When 8:10 rolled around and the second shot was poured, I'm like, I got to get out of here. I really got to get out of here.
I think I'd rather drink moonshine than tequila.
I don't mind tequila. You know, good tequila. 100% agave.
Yeah.
Which is the expensive stuff is good.
And then as long as you're not paying for it, it's okay.
Right, right. I didn't pay for it, so. You know.
I'll pass on all that. Give me a good bottle of wine or a nice glass of scotch, and I'm happy.
Alan's like, dude, Mad Dog 2020, and I'm good to go. And a cardboard cutout of Doug McGraw.
Tim.
Tim McGraw.
The other one's dead. We don't
what is Doug McGraw? What was the Quick Draw McGraw? Was
yeah,
the
Quick
cartoon? He was the one with the banjo and he bonked people over. Was that? Was he the one with?
No. Quick Draw McGraw was the dog with the sheriff.
That's
one.
Right. Oh, that was El Kabong.
El Kabong, yes.
El Kabong. Goatee Venture.
Oh, I forgot all about that until just now.
El Kabong. Yeah. Who was his sidekick?
I don't remember.
Wasn't that the guy that they named Baba Booey after?
Yes, Baba Louie.
Baba Louie, that's
right.
El Kabong and Baba Louie. Woo! How about that? Well, you know what? Let's get a guest on here.
Let's
so
talk
we don't
to
have
Jeremy.
To talk anymore, and I can just let.
Yeah, Dan could just veg out in the corner.
Can,
we'll talk to
I
Jeremy.
Can, I could get back, you know, wherever the hell I'm supposed to be. Where is he? Oh,
there he is.
Let's call him up. Oh, we actually have a ringtone this week. What is the difference?
At least that's working.
I have no clue. Yeah, now we have to make sure the mic works.
Hello,
Jeremy. Can you hear us?
I can.
Fantastic. At least that works.
We're in business.
Something worked right.
A few technical difficulties, but we're okay now.
How you doing today, Jeremy?
Oh, well, that didn't last long.
You still there?
The call looks like it's still going.
Jeremy, you still there?
You pulled the plug.
I didn't touch anything.
It's still going. I'm pulling the plug.
Yeah. Try it again.
Woo! IP telephony via Skype.
Fun with Skype.
It's hot in here, man. I think I'm going to need to undress.
No.
That doesn't look like he's there. He's having technical difficulties now.
All right.
So much for Jeremy.
Is he on the chat, too?
He is, yes.
Maybe we'll want to find out. What happened to my chat window, damn it? I thought I had it up.
I guess we're not going to make the G rating that tech show thing.
Let's try one more time.
If you read my
that's not happening. Oh, there we go.
Jeremy.
That's fine.
I hear bubba.
We don't hear Jeremy though. Jeremy, no. Did you kick the cord out? We got nothing, Jeremy.
How did it work so perfectly the first couple of seconds?
Because we talked about it. That's the problem.
The mic is fine.
All back slapping ourselves on the, saying, oh, fantastic job. We'll try again. Maybe it'll work this time. User's not online.
Have you guys looked at the download archives, the number of hits for the different shows? The number one show so far has been Nat Friedman. That's been downloaded over 10,000 times already. Number two,
10,000, wow.
Yeah, number two is Marcel Gagne. He's up around 3,000 downloads. And not too far behind that is Doc Searles. He's pushing towards 2,000.
This
one's
going to push to like 200.
did they actually monitor that, or are we just winging it? And
I
they don't
have no
notice?
Idea. I get the same $15. Wait, was it $10?
It was $15.
$15 price every month. And they say we're only using 3% of our bandwidth.
They don't know. We don't know.
It doesn't matter. Life goes on. I found out today that it's good to, especially when you're using Webalizer, to kind of refresh your logs there on a monthly basis. the log I had at work ended up being 2.6 gigabytes in size. And my Webalizer statistics went from like, and this is just strictly non-bot external hits, 2,000 a month, 2,000 to 4,000 a month, down to like 10 or 12 a month. And once you get down to 10 or 12 a month, that kind of drastic, you say, whoa, something's not right here. And I manually ran my scripts, and I'm like, nah, I got to reduce the
Can't
log
be right.
here. 2 gigs of log is 2 gigs of size is not good.
The only thing I don't like about Webalizer is the stuff is broken down very granular, too much, I think. It doesn't give you summary totals. It gives you totals by month to month, but it doesn't have grand totals. For instance, looking at the shows from, say, January, you got to look at January, then you got to look at February, then you got to look at March.
You got to add them all. Hey, I haven't played around with it all that much.
But besides that, it's great. It gives you nice summaries of everything you talk. So it shows your page hits, your downloads, your file sizes.
There's another one out there, AW something. Somebody on the chat, let us know what it is. Let's try Jeremy once more.
One more time, see if this works.
Bah, da, 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 da. It's got to work because the ringing's not coming through.
There we go. Jeremy, are you there? Hello?
Perhaps we should try someone else, Skyping someone else to see whether or not it's all on our end or not.
Let's find out.
Jeremy, we're going to try calling the Echo service, and you should probably try to do the same and see if your connection's okay.
Yeah, let's pick somebody else who's on there.
Yeah, pick somebody else.
Anybody else on there?
Yeah, I'm sure we can get somebody.
Somebody call us.
No, actually,
we have nothing to talk about.
I have it.
We got the status.
Okay.
What is it, the Echo test?
Echo test,
User not found.
Actually, it's, what is it, Echo 123?
The program you were looking for, Dan, was AW Stats.
Yeah, AW Stats is what I was looking for. Yeah, that's what I
want. AWStats.org.
I got to say, though, Skype overall has been pretty good for me.
Right.
Welcome to Skype testing site. Please leave a message during 10 seconds after the beep, and the message will be played back to you.
Alan does a test. Four down.
Let's bring the show down.
Hello, test one.
Dun, 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 dun.
Helga, the Skype operator.
She's hot.
You think?
Let's bring the show down.
We're good.
We're good.
Okay.
Hello, test one.
It's good on our end.
We're good.
Hopefully, Jeremy's good on his end.
Let's try him one more time.
He's having problems. All right, how about we check back with him in about 10 minutes? Let him work on his issues.
Onward and upward.
Exactly.
What are we going to talk about
tonight? I could talk about my Myth TV.
Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead? I try and figure out.
I finally moved my Myth TV box into the family room, and it was working great for like 2 days. Then all of a sudden, it took a dump. A literal dump? My encoder is not initializing right.
Your son putting the peanut butter sandwich in.
Yeah, it's the drool, the spittle all over the connections. Might have had something to do with it. No, but seriously, for some reason, my encoder is not initializing right, and I'm going through the logs and trying to debug it now. But I could still play back videos that I recorded previously. So I'm sure I'll figure out in the next couple days. It's great, though. I love it. It's fantastic. It does everything that the TV does and then some. The only thing that I haven't tried out...
except play on his TV.
Except record.
Yeah, record.
It actually plays back really nice. They have a video phone now on it, which is a new feature. So I'm going to check that out and see if it's any better than Skype, see what the limitations of that is. And this is with the new release. I tried getting in touch with the developers, Isaac Richards and some of the other guys, and none of them replied to me. They're like very unsure of us, whether or not they should talk to us. I did actually, looking at the Webalizer logs, I noticed that at least 20 people from the developer list came over and downloaded some of our episodes. That they haven't replied back to me, maybe they don't like what they hear.
That means they listen to them.
They listen to them and they don't like what they hear. So, hey, c'est la vie. Life goes on. I like Myth TV. I was talking to Doc Searles, and he's going to do something of a write-up in the next issue of Linux Journal, talking about a little bit about Myth TV, because he was totally unaware what it was, and I was corresponding with him a little bit, you know, giving him some information what it was and what exactly it does, and he was checking out the website. And he had some questions, and I was just filling them in. I actually started to do a how-to/article on Myth TV with a Hot Pod card, and that's coming along. I should have that done in a few days, hopefully. I've just been really busy at work and haven't had a chance to finish it. And but Dan, I noticed, is working on his internet radio how-to. You actually got a second page done, right, Dan?
I do.
Yeah, you had a second page.
Did I upload that?
I think you did.
I didn't think I uploaded it. Yeah, I've been working on the second page.
The second page?
No, I've been working on the second page, yeah. I thought I was on the third page.
The second page is what, like hardware considerations?
Yeah, hardware considerations. I have been working on that. I didn't think I really actually uploaded it.
It was on there today, actually.
It was? Who's the idiot that put that up there? Oh, wait. Second page is deciding on what kind of show to do. Third page. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I only have the microphone stuff. It's hard. It's harder than I thought it was going to be because I want to make sure. I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective. Yeah, I'm trying to get everything in there. I'm like, oh, all the microphone choices you have. Like, I don't think I should just put what I have. And then, you know, I thought maybe I should make it into a wiki. Then everybody contribute to it.
Just do backups and you're okay.
Yeah, and then I'm like, well, then I got to set up a wiki.
So you don't get spammed by, like, you know, Viagra.
I haven't seen much wiki spams. Blog spam is a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. Mailing lists are the worst lately.
I've kind of solved my blog spam. It's pretty easy.
No comments.
No. Yeah, well, there's turning off the
comments. That's how I do.
But I posted it in my blog. Basically, you know, if you know a little at MySQL, I have a couple scripts that go through and just wipe out any posts that are relating to spam so far. I can even add your blog if you wanted to turn comments back on. It's a reactionary measure as opposed to a proactive measure.
Okay.
Because you were getting spam, right?
Yeah, you know,
Texas Hold'em.
Basically, the way the script runs is
you can own a Rolex.
It runs a MySQL, which pulls in a script that says, you know, delete all the posts where a poster name is like, and then I have like, you know, in contains poker or you know, a whole bunch of stuff that I look at the spam that I've gotten, and I say this is a common thread. Poker is one of them. Casino is another.
Yeah.
Viagra's one. Phenarine or whatever the heck that other medication is one. And when something new pops up, you know, I just add it to that script, and it just flushes it right on out of there.
There's been a lot of phishing spam. I don't know if you guys have noticed. Like, you'll get something saying your eBay account has been suspended, or, you know, bank of whatever, your account
has
been
suspended.
I can
only wish my eBay account was suspended.
Well, you know, phishing has progressed on the farming now.
What's the difference?
Well, fishing would be that they would you would go to a link, but farming now is they actually try and hit your machine or a DNS server in the process of if they can get your machine and get access to your host file and alter your host file so that they would change, for instance, like the link that they would give you to eBay.com would actually go in your host file. They would point eBay.com to another server. So it would bypass going through a DNS server. And
but you don't know the difference unless you look at your file.
It's transparent to you. You go to this site, and it looks just like eBay because they've set it up perfectly. And in one of the articles I read said what they have really done is improve their grammar. So now it doesn't look like, you know.
Bunch of foreigners.
Yeah, but it's not your base belonged to us. All your base belonged to us anymore. It's now it's like, yo, we took over. It looks like the way it's supposed to look.
I wonder really where all those sites are. China, what do you think? China or
Russia,
like the old Eastern Bloc, like Bulgaria and places like that?
Eastern.
Lithuania.
I think Eastern European, Russian, China, and Middle Eastern are the big culprits. And also South America. Some places in South America are doing it. But if they can hit your host file, and they can redirect you. That's one way they do it. The other way is they'll attack DNS servers, and people who don't secure their DNS servers properly or keep up with the security patches, if they can get in there and flood it to the point where it either dumps out and they get dumped to another DNS server that's corrupted, or they could actually corrupt the DNS server, they'll take over that way too. So that's essentially is farming
sucks,
in a nutshell.
Man.
There's probably more to it, but that's what I garnered from my brief review on the web.
I just think, you know, people like us who are half clueless, you know, at least we know what it is to look for, where, you know, people who are totally clueless have no clue whatsoever.
Right. And you know what? This is the perfect opportunity to segue into the next topic that I have posted on the blog, which is DVD piracy. And, you know, you hear a lot about the MPA, Motion Picture Association of America, really trying to say, look, this is a problem. We're losing billions of dollars a year on
this. Using imaginary billions of dollars.
Right. But, you know, you really, I think there's a middle ground here. And not to really take complete sides with the Motion Picture Association of America, I think there's a lot of piracy going on that the majority of people do not realize.
Yeah, but the piracy that's going on, I think the big amount of piracy that's going on is the ones that actually press new discs.
Right.
When you go up to, you know, New York City, and you know you're buying Kill Bill for $1.99 off of a guy with a cardboard box.
Most of those pirate the copies though in New York City, it's some guy standing in the back of the movie theater with a camcorder.
I disagree with you.
Yeah,
and you want to know why I disagree with you?
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you why. Because I purchased pirated discs.
Dan has the camera over here to prove it.
And I did it unknowingly because, number one, I wanted to buy, for the longest time, I wanted to buy Rurouni Kenshin on DVD, the entire story arc. So I went to Google and I typed in Rurouni Kenshin.
What is that, anime?
Yeah, anime. Anime is a big one for piracy.
Yeah.
Huge. I typed it in. And I went to a bunch of different sites, Amazon. I'm not going to name the other sites because I bought off of one of them. And, you know, I don't want to get in any trouble if I name them. But anyway, I went to this site that had the DVDs on sale. They looked perfectly legitimate, right? Mm-hmm. They had three different versions. I was trying to find the uncut DVDs. And I figured, well, if I find the one that's in Japanese with English and Chinese subtitles. Out of all the ones, I said nothing said uncut, or I could not find anything about what DVDs were uncut. But this one looked like the closest I would get to uncut, right? And the place I went to was a complete site, a business site like you would go to anywhere else. I ordered from them. You know, it went through Yahoo storefront. They weren't a Yahoo website, but it was a legitimate storefront. I ordered from them. 3 days later, the DVDs show up. I pulled them out. I was like, wow, fantastic. I can't wait to watch
this. You got what you want.
I got exactly what I thought I got exactly what I ordered. I pulled them out. you know, it came in with perfect letterbox, everything, you know, the packaging looked beautiful. I pulled it out, the DVDs looked beautiful. Everything looked great. I pop them in, I'm watching it, the quality's really good.
Right.
You know, I think it looked great. So, you know, I'm really happy with my thing, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought these weren't in English. I thought it was Japanese.
It was in English.
English or Chinese subtitles. But it was Japanese or English dubbed with English subtitles. So I looked at it further, and I realized, well, wait, the one I ordered had a cover in Chinese. This one had a cover in English. Well, the company messed up.
Okay.
The one I ordered was episodes 1 through 27. But the one they sent me was a different one. It was episodes 1 through 48. So I'm trying to figure out whether the ones I got were cut or not. Not that they screwed up and sent me. Yeah. The one I ordered was 30-some bucks. They sent me the one for 50-some bucks. So I went online to Rec Arts Anime Misc, and I typed in. I said, look, are these cut or uncut? This is what I ordered. This is what I got. Is there a difference? And the first response back I got, yeah, they're worth crap. They're worthless because they're pirated. So I started, you know, and this sparked off a nice little thread of talking about anime piracy, and I started looking into it further. And, yeah, aside from the Media Blasters DVD set, which retails for $150, I think, roughly, and you can get it for $119 on Amazon, all the other Rurouni Kenshin DVD box sets are pirated versions.
Okay.
And, like I said, had I not gone that extra step to try and look that up, I would never have known. But this is like a legitimate DVD. They're great. I love them. And now, you know, the question is, Media Blasters sells episodes 1 through 36, or 1 through 32. It's $119. Episodes 2, the next third, second third of the story arcs, is $119. The final third is $119.
That's a lot of money.
Right. Actually, I can't find a final third on anywhere else but Media Blasters. And I was assuming that it wasn't released, and they're not knowing whether they will release it, but apparently they have. And Media Blasters will sell it to me for $150. But I can get episodes 49 through 96 for $50.
Yeah, for $49. Yeah.
Sweet deal.
Sweet deal. But now I know they're pirates. Yeah. They're pirates, pirated videos. And I think that this is really...
And you're an accessory to the crime now.
No, I'm an accessory to the crime if I would order from them. BinRev Radio.
Did you tell your wife? Have her order.
Yeah. What's interesting is...
I didn't buy
I find
these
all
were
this out.
To me.
I find all this out, and I listen to BinRev... Not BinRev, Infonomicon episode, I think it was 83, which was not the latest one, but the one before that. And he talked about a guy who was busted in New York City. I forget the guy's name, so go Infonomicon site, get their latest episode. Really great radio show. But he had talked about that one of the legal the lawyers for the company that produces the Bond videos, that has the rights to the Bond franchise.
Yeah.
She was on eBay, and on a lark, she went and looked for eBay box, you know, Bond box set, and she found it for sale online. And the guy who sold it, you know, she had one of their interns or whatever order it so that he wouldn't know that it was through them.
Right.
And it came in, and it looked just like my Rurouni Kenshin DVD, looked perfect. The company had never produced a Bond box set. But this guy had
perfect Bond sets.
Had a perfect one. It looked legitimate. The copy was pretty good. You know, it wasn't where some guy had taken a camera to the movie theater and videotaped.
He made
the
copies
movie.
Of all the movies and just put them in.
Right, essentially,
re-encoded
that's what,
them
yeah,
and put them together.
That's what they did, and that's what they do with these others. I guess the Chinese mafia is really big into it. And apparently, a year of playing with this guy and doing some different things, it came down to when the final bust happened. He had grossed $200,000 in profit post expenses from illegal piracy of DVDs. And, you know, the flip side of this is, sure, he was selling it on eBay, but, you know, in my case, I went and I looked, and it looks like a legitimate storefront that you buy this stuff from.
Nobody would know.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't really know. So I think it's a lot more rampant than we think it is.
But they're attacking the wrong people, though.
They're going to the end user, but they should be
going
to the people who are trying to sell.
Yeah. Right, they're going after you and I,
as opposed to going after the guy making $200,000 off of a set.
Right.
Where you and I are making it for ourselves, and that's, you know, it's, we're not going after to sell it on eBay.
I'll tell you what, though.
This is because I'm smarter than that.
Lately, the encryption on certain DVDs, they will not copy. I can give you an example. For instance, The Forgotten, that movie with Julianne Moore, you know, where she wakes up one day and she remembers her son, and nobody else remembers. That
I have no clue. Maybe that's why it's maybe bad enough. That's why they did that sort of thing.
Well, it doesn't copy. That's one example, and supposedly there are others that don't copy.
Now you know what? I want to take the other side too now, and I think you know when I looked at this and the choices before me before I found out that yeah there is the final story arc available to me. Legitimately, one of the points I had taken, and this goes now hand-in-hand with the RIAA, I'm a big Blue Oyster Cult fan. I love Blue Oyster Cult.
Is that the Godzilla connection? Or?
Yeah, the no. I have all their CDs, their albums, CDs, that they put out, except for one, and that one is Imaginos. And I can't get Imaginos because it's out of print. I might be able to find it on eBay, but I'm going to have to pay an exorbitant price to buy it on eBay.
Is it an import?
Or? Yeah, there is a record and tape show up in Allentown every couple of
months.
Right,
and maybe I might be able to find it there. But to order it, the company won't produce it anymore. So I have to find it either through the record and tape show from some guy who's willing to sell me a used copy.
Or get an import.
And, right. Well, I don't even think there's an import of it.
There might be a Japanese record company we can get
a copy.
I
looked for it. I've been looking off and on. I haven't looked too hard. But last time I looked, it wasn't available. And nobody was selling it on eBay. It's really hard to get. Now, in my opinion, if the company is not willing to sell me that album,
I totally agree with you. If they're not going to sell the album to me, if I want to go out and get it off of one of the peer-to-peers or Napster when it was in his glory on it, then there's nothing they can say about it because they haven't actually lost any money. They made a conscientious business decision that this album wasn't worthwhile enough for them to do anything with. So as far as I'm concerned, screw them.
Right. And same thing with the Motion Picture Association of America. And, you know, the way I looked at it is if they weren't going to release the third arc of the Daruni Kenshin DVDs, I have no other choice than to buy them through the pirates.
Yeah.
But because they have, now I have the choice. I have a choice to make. I can buy them illegally or I can buy them from Media Blasters.
What really needs to change.
Sad thing is, I can buy them illegally for half the price. Actually, a third of the price of buying the entire set. But, yeah, it's tough.
What really needs to change is what we were talking about it with Doc, with him. The whole structure of the industry needs to change from top to bottom. You know, the whole DVD market, it's pure profit for them. How much does it actually cost to make a DVD of a movie that they produced already? A dollar? Tops? To press the DVD and ship it out with the cardboard box?
Yeah, but the difference with the motion picture...
The motion picture people...
on it is for the $19 they get you for a DVD, you get a lot more than you get from an album, I think. You're still paying $19. You know, you go to the mall and look at the album, and it's $15, $19. Well, fuck, it was $15, $19 20 years ago when they first put out CDs.
Yep.
And it never went down, but the music quality actually went down.
Whoa,
but at least
we just got kicked off of techpodcast.net thanks to you, Alan, with the bomb.
Yeah, well, we weren't ever going to make that one anyways, I don't think, with our show.
That's a whole other issue.
But at least when you buy a movie, you get, you know, the hour and a half movie, you get probably
alternate audio
and a half
channels.
Yeah, you probably get an hour and a half worth of commentary, which you may or may not watch, depending on how much you like the movie. But it's a better value.
True. What does an average movie ticket go for these days?
Yeah, it's 10
Well,
bucks.
Not matinee, it's like...
8?
Yeah.
Is it 8? I thought it was like
eight
closer to
nine.
10.
It
depends on where you go. Some places it's like 8. I've been to places where it's like $10 to $15.
In New York, it's probably 15.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Yeah, so for you go to Suncoast and you buy, you know, $20 buys you a movie on it, and you can watch it as many times as you want, which is it's just a better value to me than buying a CD anymore.
Right.
And plus, the stuff that I'm interested in is mostly out of print shit, anyways.
Well, with the music, what I think really needs to happen is
music died in the 80s, man.
The artists need to embrace the whole new technology thing. What I think they should do is for every album they release, they should release at least one or two songs as freeware, just free distribution. Download it, do what the hell you want with it. You want the rest of the album, you pay for it. To me, that would satisfy
everybody. There are bands that actually do that. And to give you an example, aside from being a Blue Oyster Cult fan, I'm an Alice Cooper fan, and usually he releases one or two tracks from his albums that you can download and listen to. But we don't have the rights to restream something like that. And I think that would be nice to be able to have those kind of rights.
What a lot of bands are doing now, I know Metallica did it recently, and also Prince on his last tour. What they do is, for the price of the ticket, at the end of the concert, you go out, and they have a CD quality recorded off the main mixer from the show.
Yeah, you pay extra for that, but you can buy the show. And a lot of bands do that. Dead started doing that years ago on it, where you could go, right, you know, there was people walking around. They would take down your name on it if you
guys
wanted
walking
to buy
around
it.
With that machines.
Well, no, that's up front in taping section. But no, they would send people walking around through the crowd on, and you could recognize them. They had funky hats on, and they would buy a ticket from them, mm-hmm. And that would entitle you to go back to the mix. You know, after the show,
take the fee directly off the mixer.
Yeah, and they had a fee off the mixer, and they were burning the CDs right there as you go. Fish does like every single album that way. You can buy every single show they have. You can buy online, I think, right now. It's a bunch of bands that have been doing that, and it's a real good way of getting your music out.
Concerts are so damn expensive, though, man. Have you been to a concert like anytime recently?
Yeah, I go see Dylan all the time.
How much does he charge for tickets?
Man, they're expensive.
$38 plus like $10 ticket bastard charges.
Wait, where did you? What were your seats though?
Floor.
Where? What row?
Well, we were up at Stable last time we saw him.
Right.
Honest. It's just floor.
Well, the whole thing why concerts are so expensive is the promoters are taking their cut, and the artists, that's where they're mostly making their music.
Yeah, that's where the artist makes all their money right there.
They're getting shit from friggin' their CD sales. You know, it's you know, a drop in a bucket for the CDs. For the $15 that they squeeze you, the artist maybe gets $1, $2.
Yeah, but no, from the show they get a lot more than that.
That's where they're making the money.
That's where they're making the money. From CDs, yeah. From CDs they only get $1 or $2 if they even get that once they pay back all the loans that the record companies give them.
You know, you have multi-platinum artists who are in hock, you know?
Yeah.
Something's wrong, you know?
A lot of those multi-platinum artists' music suck anyway.
True. So. I agree.
Well, you might think it sucks.
But somebody's
buying
it.
But that 13-year-old down there at the middle school not going to think it sucks.
Yeah, that's his problem.
Woo! I don't know.
Brittany!
Do we want to try talking to Jeremy one more time?
Sure.
Give it another
sure.
shot. Hopefully he's got his issues sorted out.
Well, we got a request to knock
it. Find out about
Explorer
Linux Questions and the Linux Questions Radio podcast.
We'll try him one more time. What happened? It worked so perfectly a few minutes ago. Like to start off the bat.
He was good for about 15 seconds.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
now
I can hear you perfectly.
All right.
Can you hear us?
I can.
All right.
We're in business, people.
Finally.
Finally.
Yeah. Something worked.
Great.
It's been a bad night, Jeremy. Lots of technical difficulties.
Yeah, seems like it. You got the new mixer, huh?
Yeah.
It's Alan's fault for this new mixer.
God damn.
It's not my fault.
We use the Euro rack here, too.
It's a nice little mixer.
That's not bad for the price.
Yeah, $100. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Where'd you buy it?
Dave Phillips.
Huh. Where'd you get yours, Jeremy?
Just a local music shop.
Dave Phillips.
Yeah. Same, man. It's just Guitar Center, whatever. So, how's it going, man? We talked a little bit at the expo up in Boston, and you finally got your Linux Questions podcast going. How's that going?
It's not going too bad. It picked up a little quicker than I thought, which is good. I haven't got to do quite as many as I wanted, but we're doing about one a week as it is now.
You released one today, right?
I did, yeah, right before this, actually.
Cool.
And I just ran my Bash Potter last night.
Gonna run it again.
Yeah, I guess I will have to.
Yeah, Bash Potter is my podcatcher of choice, I have to admit.
That should make Link happy.
Yeah. he's rolling over in ecstasy at work.
Tangling with the cables.
So you had a bunch of podcasts. Some of the more recent ones you had from a show out in California, right?
Yeah, Scale 3 was the Southern California Linux Expo.
Yeah, you had actually a listener or a colleague go out and do some interviews. I really enjoyed those. They were great. Thanks for
Yeah, they weren't bad. Actually, I didn't even, as he was recording them, he wasn't sure where he was going to post them, and then he had contacted me after I put the LQ Radio site up and asked, and I was like, yeah, sure, it's great, and I think they turned out great.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed those. Maybe I'm actually, sorry, go ahead.
I'm actually talking to the guys at Fedora now, too. We went to FedoraCon the day after the expo in Boston, and I'm hopefully going to have some of the stuff from that conference up soon also.
Cool.
So what are you using to stream your show?
We use Icecast. On the server side.
And, are you doing a live show yet, or is it pre-recorded?
It's pre-recorded, I think.
Well, the podcasts are pre-recorded. LQ Radio is going to be a little bit different format than the podcasts. That's going to be live.
And what are you going to be using to stream to your Icecast server?
Just the ISIS client.
Okay.
Probably ISIS 0, which does MP3. I'd like to go OGG only, but I don't think enough people have a player that supports it at this point, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, good luck. I don't know if you've heard about the our problems with the iRiver and OGG support on that.
No, which iRiver did you have problems with?
The 7. In fact, I don't know if it's just the 790s,
right?
But it might be all of them. But the encoding of an iRiver to support OGG, it has to be 44/100 hertz and in between 96 and 256 kilobytes.
Wow.
Which results in enormously large files.
Yeah, definitely.
And so far we have not been able to get anything else to play on that other than something that falls in that range.
Wow. That's kind of odd. They've had a lot of firmware problems with OGG, though. I know I have an old iRiver. When I first got it, it wouldn't even play OGG, so...
I read an article about the iRiver. It was saying that they didn't release the source code for the GPL, that their firmware is based on Linux, and they haven't released anything. And
really? I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, recently, like a day or two ago, I saw something about that, and people were kind of getting on their case about it, that, you know, they're not being open about it.
They pulled the Linksys, huh?
Yeah. But if it's Linux, how could they screw up OGG support? I mean, really? How could they really?
I wonder that.
They probably have some kind of proprietary hook in there or something. A wrapper or something, and it's not working right.
The other problem is I don't think a lot of the MP3 players support it, because I know the iPod doesn't either.
No.
So.
The one that I've been looking at that I'm really interested to see in person is the Neuros. It's this company in Chicago, and they released the second version of it, but it sounds like they're having problems shipping them out. And I'm really, really curious to see what that looks like and how it works and what the quality is of it. It does a lot of the things that the iRiver does. It's a little more expensive. Like the 256 meg one is 140, I think they're going for. And they
That's not too bad.
Yeah, and they have, like, the way they do it is they have these hard drive add-on packs. And, you know, depending on how much extra, you know, hard drive space you get, they go up, you know, 200, 250, whatever. But... supposedly they release the source code. They're really into Linux, the people there. And sometimes I go on the bulletin boards, and there seems to be a good communication from the company. You know, they print them.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, Neuros, the Neuros player.
So how are things going at Linux Questions? Are you getting some more hardware in there to speed up the searches?
We are. Yeah, actually, Sam. I had talked with Sam from Penguin Computing at Linux World, and we should have another server on the way. So probably going to go with the dual Opteron.
Sweet.
And make that the main SQL server, and then we'll move the current SQL server over to be just a dedicated search server.
What's the subscription up to now? How many people do you have?
For the main site, I think we're up to about 160,000
awesome.
Registered members.
That's
it never ceases to amaze me how much it continues to grow.
You just added Ubuntu into your distribution list, too.
Yeah, but that had to make you guys happy, huh?
Yeah. You know what? You got Slackware. That's all that matters. You got the.
Patrick was actually one of the first distributions to join the site.
Yeah, it's a great site that you.
I'm on there all the time. I don't post a ton of times, but you know I go on there occasionally, and I read what people post. Sometimes I post answers myself. Well, one of the things I didn't realize, Jerem, is when I sent you a message today to have you come on, you're saying that we got a Gmail account set up automatically.
No, you must have signed that up when you signed up for the site.
No.
That message you sent came from a Gmail account.
I messaged it from the Linux question site, from the user panel.
Right.
That's how I sent the message.
And you didn't register for the site with the Gmail account?
Nope.
Oh, that's kind of odd.
It's kind of odd.
There's a bug.
We got to look into that.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that one. I've never had that happen before.
So when you first started Linux questions, did you really think it was going to take off like this?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Like, I think I posted it in one of the other, when someone else asked. I thought maybe if I had 100 users someday, that would be great. I just started it, you know, to try to give something back after I got my first Linux job. And, 160,000 members later, it's far surpassed what I ever thought it would be.
Is Linux question the main thing that you're doing nowadays? Because I've noticed that you've started writing some articles in, like, Linux Magazine and a couple of the
I've had a column in Linux Magazine for going on 2 years now, I think. I do the tech support column there. And I just started doing features, too. I actually have a full-time job in addition to Linux questions, actually.
What do you do exactly?
Like a senior Linux system admin and security guy / network guy / you know, all that fun stuff.
/ jack of all trades.
Yeah, basically.
When there's a problem, they call you.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Do you have to do any training?
What's that?
Do you have to do any training?
For work?
Yes. No, I mean, do you have to train anybody else?
Oh, like, sometimes.
Like general users?
Yeah. I end up being like third level support, so I don't have to do that much.
You're lucky.
But I end up teaching some classes within the company and stuff like that, too.
I have to train people on doing stuff like website design and it's driving me up the wall.
Actually, the company I work for does website design, so that I don't have to touch.
And it amazes me that it's not that they have a hard time grasping the concepts of like creating a simple website. It's that they have no understanding about stuff like directory structure.
Yeah, first introducing people to Linux sometimes can be a daunting task.
I'm not even talking about Linux. I'm talking about Windows or OS X even. They just have.
Well, you guys develop on. Oh, that's part of your problem there, probably.
Well, no. Actually, I work for a school district, and they want to have every teacher to have their own website and be able to maintain their own website. And for lack of, you know, at this point on a zero budget, we've settled upon using a Mozilla Composer or NVU.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, using those products is not that difficult to start working with, but I'm coming at a point of hitting up against the wall. People don't understand how, you know, the stuff about saving files and directory structure and what needs to go where and why.
Are you saving it to a Linux server, too?
Well, we have Novell servers, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
I know a lot of people new to web design, for us, the whole case-sensitive thing, completely, they'll link the file with, like, a capital I for index, and then they wonder why it doesn't work.
Oh, case-sensitivity? Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to explain case-sensitive to people that don't understand it.
And putting spaces and file names,
yeah. Directories.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Seems like for what you're trying to do, you'd almost want to go with some kind of CMS so they never have to touch the actual code.
Yeah, it would be nice, and it would be nice to set something like that up. And just haven't had the time to do that.
More excuses, Dan.
Yeah. Because, you know, it in some respects, there are fantastic stuff that you can get on Linux to do all that stuff, but we're actually on NetWare, And although NetWare does support PHP and MySQL and Apache, and it's not as seamless as doing it on Linux.
No, definitely not. So you guys aren't moving to Linux, even though Novell kind of is?
Ideally, I would love to, and I look forward to doing that. When we had that interview with Nate Friedman, I had spoken to the Novell representative prior to that about, you know, how could we move our existing NetWare servers off the NetWare DOS platform onto NetWare Linux platform. And he said that those are the tools that are just being released now. And
It seems like they're kind of using themselves as a beta test, moving all their own stuff.
Right, and hopefully within the next year and a half or so, we can make that a reality.
Aren't they having like a big conference out in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, the BrainShare.
Yeah, I've been reading some of the articles on that, and it sounds like it's mostly PR releases, that kind of thing. Who they're dealing with, and it sounds like it's mostly the clients coming in.
It's an annual event that they have, BrainShare.
It did sound like mostly PR stuff.
Yeah, you know, we'll keep an eye on Novell. Hopefully good things in the future for them.
Of course. They're SUSE now.
Yeah, SUSE is Novell.
And linuxquestions.org is SUSE now, right?
Yeah, we've been at Novell forum for quite a while.
Yeah, it's, you know what? I like Novell. We've been using them. I think it's been pretty good. I like their management.
They have an unfortunate history of having superior technology and still getting crushed, though.
Oh, yeah. I think their marriage with DOS and catering to the Windows environment for so long is really, you know, they got the second string there.
It almost killed
them, I
think.
My opinion, they had better tools for management. Either eDirectory was great. Their, you know, management of users and policies and stuff was really nice. And then, you know, Windows played catch-up, and now Windows has some fairly decent tools for their end, and they really, you know, if you run in a Novell environment, you know that every version of Windows or patch that gets released really wreaks havoc on the client that Novell has, and it messes with that interoperability.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I talking so much? Jeremy should be talking. He's the guest. Sorry, Jeremy.
So, Jeremy, this Linux Question Radio, what kind of format are you looking to do? Is it going to be a weekly thing?
It's probably going to be bi-weekly at the beginning, and the time's probably going to switch off. It's going to basically be, I'll be on every show, and then it's going to be a panel of moderators, somewhere in between 2 and 3 moderators per show. And since so many of them are spread around the world, we're going to do an what would be early show for us so that we can get some of the people from the UK and other parts of Europe in there. On, you know, that'll be once a month, and then a little later so the people from California and that area can get on the other one.
You got to send Acid QP to the Lug Radio Guys event they're having in June.
Actually, we have like 4 mods in the UK. I'll have to let them know.
Yeah, they should go check that out.
Yeah, he was pretty excited that you guys liked Acid Rip.
Yeah, I was playing around with that, you know, when he first released that about a year ago. Or even longer.
It comes stock, I know, in like Gentoo now and Mandrake, and a couple other distros are actually shipping it, so.
That's all Perl-based, right?
Yeah. Perl, and it calls M encoder on the back end.
Right. Yeah, when we were at Linux Expo, we met a bunch of Jeremy's mods from the website, and the guys there, they're all from everywhere, right? You got people from all around the world.
Oh, yeah, I think we're up to probably 8 different countries, 20 different mods spread out, you know, from New Zealand to England. Trying to think how many in the U.S. I don't even know if a majority are in the U.S. anymore. That's pretty close.
That's kind of cool, though, because, you know, you get to meet people from all around the world, and you get a different perspective.
Oh, yeah, if 5 years ago you would have told me that I'd be flying to England for the site, I would have thought you were crazy. So we did Linux World UK this year, too.
That's cool. Where was that, in London?
Yeah, right in London. It was a great show. It's a little bit different than the ones that are in the U.S. It's definitely a little bit smaller. And like the .org pavilion, you don't even get a booth. You have to stand the whole time. But still a good turnout, and a lot of people in the U.K. had heard of us. It's probably our second most traffic behind the U.S. is probably the U.K., so it was good to get out there. I'd never been to London, so that was nice.
Cool.
Are you guys going to Linux World Canada in April or no?
No,
it's a little bit,
that's
little
a
bit
long
of a road
drive
trip
for us.
Yeah, we gotta work. We blew our vacation on Linux World Boston.
One day.
I was gonna say, I think we're gonna get a booth there. So.
That's cool. I think we're gonna try to get a booth at the next one in Boston next year, and I think we want to try to do the 3 days if we can.
Yeah, it's a good time. I think that was maybe the sixth one we've attended, and every one gets better.
It was a good time, Boston. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. Google threw us a party this year, which that was kind of cool.
See, that's what we missed out on, Dan and Alan and Wink, you know.
I thought they'd be throwing some of the IPO cash around and getting crazy, but it was pretty tame.
Yeah. I heard the good party to go to was the Linux Journal party.
Which one was that?
The Linux Journal.
The one you weren't invited
exactly.
to, right?
I think the Linux.
Oh, the Linux Journal party.
Yeah, they had a.
That was actually during the Google party. Yeah, we got an invite but didn't end up being able to make it.
Yeah, we got to do that whole circuit next time. We got to make sure we stay in Boston proper. We stayed in Cambridge, and that was a little bit of an experience in itself.
Oh, so you guys were a little bit out there.
Yeah.
My hotel was like a 2-minute walk away. It was awesome.
How much did you pay a night? Let me ask you.
No,
it wasn't that bad. It was like 110, I think.
I think we're gonna spring for it next time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I mean, a lot of the I know the official hotel for the expo was like 289 or something like that, which is outrageous. But
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's when you. And I stayed Monday to Saturday to be able to go to FedoraCon too. So.
How was that?
It was good. They kind of had two different tracks there. One was a user track, and one was a developer track. And I stuck to the developer track for the most part, and they had some really good talks. Some stuff on stateless Linux, which it looks like they're going to be pushing pretty hard. Some stuff with single sign-on, and they bought the LDAP server from AOL. It used to be the Netscape LDAP server. And they're going to be integrating that in, so you know it's basically going to be single sign-on for pretty much everything they claim. So I think that's one thing that's sorely missing now, so that should be good if they can pull it off.
Everybody loves to bash Red Hat, and honestly, those guys do a lot of development work. It makes its way into almost every distro.
Yeah, it's easy to bash number one, but I mean, they've over the course of the years, they've continued to do good things, and they give everything they do back. Which is more than a lot of companies, but I think they do a good job too.
Not like Apple, huh? Apple. When are we going to see an OS X forum on Linux questions? I don't know, right?
It is BSD, right?
Yeah, there's a BSD forum. If Apple wants to participate, I'd be more than happy to have an OS X forum.
I don't know, man. The whole Apple deal. A lot of those people are like very elitist. I mean, Dan, you're an Apple user. Do you ever go to those Apple websites and those forums?
Hell no. Why?
I don't know. It's like I was actually thinking about like buying an Apple, picking up a G5. And
I got one just to check it out.
They're nice machines, but I don't know if I could deal with all the crap that goes on with everything.
You got a G5 or just a?
I got a G5. Yeah. I just threw Linux on it. I mean, I tested out OS X and played around with it a little bit.
Yeah, because that's what I come down to. If it doesn't work in OS X, I'll just boot into Linux.
And more and more distros seem to be supporting PPC now, so.
Yeah, part of me hopes it takes off. I mean, I don't like what Apple's doing with a lot of their, really coming down on journalists and really trying to lock things down and being really monopolistic in certain aspects. But
yeah,
I really
what they did from ThinkSecret, I can't understand that.
Right.
What a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... they're generating free PR for them consistently, and why you would not want free PR, that's beyond me.
I mean, and it's, you know, they got built off of BSD, and it's great to be able to sit there, just like on my Linux system, and have, like, 10 different applications running at once and not have a hiccup. You know, but I try and do that on, like, Windows. That isn't going to happen, right? But I could do it, like, all the time on Linux, and I could do it on the OS X. But, you know, and hopefully that the PPC gets a little more support. But there's just little things, really important things that are missing on PPC, like flash support, video codecs that aren't available on the PPC.
Mm-hmm.
that. Hopefully that'll change.
It's like 2 years behind what x86 can do, you know?
I think that'll change. I think the fact that Linus uses it now will probably get it a little more exposure, and people will start developing just for that sole reason.
Yeah, you know, got Linus using it. Now we got Jeremy using it, and you are the one that's going to make the difference, Jeremy.
Well, my main machine's still a Pentium, but with all the hype, I went out and bought an iMac just to... Although the one thing I have to say about OS X is Audacity runs way, way better in OS X than it does in Linux.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Well, don't tell me that now. I'm running Audacity and on PPC right now trying to make a recording. Yeah, on Ubuntu.
So do all you guys use Ubuntu?
No. Slackware. No.
I got one machine with Ubuntu.
It's all Slack.
I got one machine with Ubuntu. My other machine's got Slackware. And my Mint TV box, I run Fedora 3.
Okay. How do you like Fedora?
You know, my last experience with Red Hat was like Red Hat 6.1. And after that, I just lost interest in it. And I was looking to build a dedicated Myth box, and I was looking at what the options were. And I saw Jared Wilson's how-to, and it was all, you know, Fedora 3 base. And there's this guy, Axel, I forget his last name, Theme, I think his name is.
At RPMs.
Right. He has a whole repository where you can build the Myth box pretty quick, within like a couple hours. And that's how I did it, and it wasn't too bad, you know. And as an operating system, you know, Fedora 3 is okay. You know, it's not my complete cup of tea. You know, I like Slackware better. I like Ubuntu better. But for what that box does, it's perfect.
Hmm. Yeah, you got to love MythTV. There's a Windows admin where I work, and I introduced him to Linux because he wanted to do something with MythTV. And that was maybe about 6 months ago. Now he runs Linux on his desktop at home, Linux on his desktop at work, even though he's the Windows admin. It's pretty much Windows everywhere.
He got a taste of it, now he's into it.
It is. He said, wow, I can't believe how nice this is. Like, you know, he's upset that he's a Windows admin sometimes now, I think. It's kind of funny.
The best thing about MythTV is I had my sister was over with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend is an admin, and he's a big Mac guy. I fired that thing up, man. He was drooling in front of the TV of what it looked like and what it had. He was totally blown away by it.
Oh, they did an outstanding job. I have to say, I was really liking TiVo for years, and I have one of the original TiVo ones, and I have it hacked up with, you know, an extra drive, and I threw a NIC in there, and some of the decisions that TiVo has been making recently, I'm going to move to MythTV pretty soon.
They're cutting their own throats, TiVo. I mean, yeah, they made some kind of a deal. I don't know if it was, who was it, Comcast?
Okay, yeah, they did finally get that deal to go through with Comcast.
I mean, and I know they also provide for, like, DirecTV, and I'm not sure if they also do Dish Network.
They lost the exclusive on that one.
Did they?
Yeah, for
on DirecTV, yeah.
Yeah, but they're really shooting themselves in the head.
They said now that they're thinking about if you fast forward a commercial, they'll play a different commercial while you're fast forwarding.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Some flash pop up comes on when you're fast forwarding.
You're fast forwarding for a reason.
And what?
That's why you stay with Series 1 because it doesn't update anymore.
I think it's going to be on the new firmware that they're coming out with.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
You have Series 1 too. It won't hit you either because Series 1 only went up to like version 3. And they won't advance it any farther.
Yeah, we were watching MythTV. I was watching it with my wife, and we're watching the show. And all of a sudden, the commercial starts to come on. Then boom, skips right over the commercials, and it's back, and it's like seamless. She was like,
"Oh yeah, that's a beautiful thing."
It's just like having like you know the complete season on DVD and just watching it right through.
Yeah,
we actually have an interview coming up with the MythTV guy, Isaac, I think his name is.
I tried getting a hold of them, and I guess they listened to our show and didn't like us, so.
So put in a good word for us.
Yeah, put in a good word for us.
I've been debating whether to go MythTV or TiVo. I just need to buy a system to run it on. That's it.
If you get like one of those little shuttle boxes, which is what I think I'm going to put it on. Actually, not much bigger than a TiVo, and they're pretty quiet.
I spent about $400, $450 in parts putting together. I got like one of those, a Coolmaster case, and it's black and it fits right in with the rest of my stereo components.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's part of the rig, you know?
Yeah.
But the shuttle boxes are nice. You can get a decent system, like a bare bones box for like $350.
You know, I
think the thing I like about them is they're quiet.
I think the big selling point for me isn't that it could do the same thing as a TiVo, is that you get MAME. You can put MAME on there and just go.
Yeah,
it rips your music. You know, you could set it up.
I don't care about it. I like MAME.
You want to play the old Nintendo games?
That's it. I want to play the arcade games.
Yeah,
that I
the arcade
up
ones, yeah.
MAME, that's just great.
And it also has some kind of a video phone feature.
Yeah,
now.
I had those ROMs. That's the way it is.
I was surprised. I know before he was having some financial problems. I think he lost his job a while back.
Who's this, Isaac?
And I thought he might try to, you know, do something with Myth TV, but he was adamant that he didn't want to.
It's probably more trouble than what it's worth, you know?
I guess the one thing you'd always have to worry about is, because he uses a Zap2it, right?
Yeah, Zap2it.
For the feed. Yep. And they probably don't care that he's using it now because he's not making money, but I guess if he went commercial, that might all change.
Yeah, on the Zap2it website, I think somebody, there was like some kind of a startup where they were doing like a MIT TV box, and they were using the Zap2it, and they caught wind of it, and I think they sicked their lawyers on whoever this company was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had some kind of a message on the website about it. You know, they didn't go into detail, but, you know, that's what I've heard. That somebody, you know, started building dedicated boxes, but, you know, basically it was just a regular build where, you know, would install and everything. And they were using Zap2it. And Zap2it is pretty clear. You're not supposed to use them if you're using it for commercial purposes, you know.
Well, that's what TiVo uses, too, but, I mean, I'm sure they have some licensing agreement.
Exactly.
I wonder how much of that $12.95 goes right to Zap2it.
We'll have to talk to them.
Yeah, that's...
I'm curious what the whole business model is. I'm going to see if I can get someone from them to talk to.
From Zap2it?
Yeah, just to see.
I still don't understand how TiVo claims to be losing so much money. I mean, they have millions of people paying them $13 a month.
Yeah, except
that's for... That's a nice revenue stream.
Except for me, because I got
the
lifetime.
Yeah, the idiot that's sitting across from us only paid $299 for a lifetime subscription.
Actually, I pay $199.
Yeah,
what I didn't like about that is if you get a new TiVo, you have to pay again.
Yeah, that's the only thing that pisses me off about it, which is why I won't buy a Series 2. I'm going to run mine until it explodes.
You paid for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it already has, like, a problem with it. It wants to answer the phone all the time, so I have to keep it disconnected. But
I had my Series 1 for, like, 3 months and a day, and the modem broke. And I called up, and they said, no, your warranty expired yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever. And they would not even think about replacing it, which is why I ended up putting a NIC in there to begin with.
Okay.
So I think they have a lot of phone problems on those.
I haven't hacked mine because I usually take things apart and they don't go back together. Right? So I figure when it breaks...
It's just a PCI slot in there.
Okay. I figure when it breaks, then I'll worry about it because I have terrible luck with getting things to work after I take them apart.
The project that I want to do is MIT TV, do a front end with an Xbox, install Linux on the Xbox, and then set it up as a front end.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're going for Xboxes now on eBay.
Too much.
I don't know if I could bring myself to buy an Xbox.
But in a way,
I'm with you on that.
In a way, it's kind of cool though that if you get it secondhand and you put Linux on it and you're running Myth TV.
I guess if you buy it secondhand, yeah, that's still.
Well, that's why I bought mine was secondhand because I figured he'd already gotten his money from somebody else. So.
Alan secretly has an Xbox, a brand new one.
Do you have Linux on there?
I do have Linux on the one. The other one is just for games.
Do you do anything?
How was that install?
It wasn't that bad. No, I unfortunately I haven't been using it a whole lot because I have to get another USB keyboard, so I'm like trading. I only have one, so I got to trade it back between systems on it. But it's pretty good. It's what the hell is it called? I haven't fired it up in a while.
Is that a different distro?
It's a distro. It's based off of Debian.
Aren't they all these days?
The name escapes me right now. But it was pretty much drop in the disk and answer a couple of questions.
Oh, well, that's not
It really wasn't hard at all. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. You have to get the little hack that goes along with the MechAssault to get the first install on there. That sets up like a little mini distro, and from there you install the Linux distro from it.
I'll have to get that distro up on LQISO. I think we're up to almost 90 distros, but I don't think that one's in there.
Which is the most popular?
Let me see. I actually do stats right on the homepage. Let's see.
Slackware, of course. Come on.
Slackware was voted the top distro.
It was. Yeah, Mandrake's the most downloaded right now. Mandrake and then Fedora.
Newbies.
People want to torture themselves.
Yeah, I was surprised. We put this site up maybe 8 months ago, I want to say, and it's already done 600,000 downloads, which is really not too bad. But yeah, everyone was surprised that Slackware won distro of the year. I think that was not what people expected.
It's not a surprise to Slackware users. It runs like a top.
No, we're kind of the official Slackware forum, too, so I think we're probably a little bit skewed in that direction. Although we're the official Fedora forum, too, I guess, so.
So you're beating out Linux packages for them?
What's that?
Are you beating out Linux packages for them?
Linux packages?
You never heard
the
of
Slackware
Linux?
Forum?
Yeah, linuxpackages.net is primarily Linux packages for Slackware.
I didn't hear what you said before that. Are we beating them?
Are you beating out their forum?
As far as what? I mean, if you go to slackware.com, we're the ones that's linked from there.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the linuxpackages.net forum?
I have, yeah. I don't, not regularly, but I've been there before.
They're primarily Slackware, from my understanding. I'm pretty sure they're Slackware, just Slackware.
I thought user local was the other main Slackware form.
I don't know. Linux packages is all. Unless I'm missing something, I have never seen.
Oh no, they do. They have a Slackware form. It looks different since the last time I've been there.
They have never had anything but Slackware packages on there. I don't know. There's so many. Three places to go now: Linux questions, Linux packages, and what was the one you listed?
User local.
User local.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
I usually go to Linux questions.
Yeah, hopefully we're the busiest, I think. Usually up over 1,000 users, you know, on at once, which I think we're the only Linux forum I consistently see that at.
Yeah, those are good numbers.
You got a lot of other things going on, too. You got a fantastic site.
We're having a push on the wiki now, too.
Yeah.
Trying to get that up to 3,000 articles.
And, of course, you're looking. I've listened to Linux Questions, LQ Radio, and you're still looking for a lot of people to fill in the missing sections of the Linux LQ Wiki. There's a handful of articles that people want written, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. There's a most wanted list. It's if you go to the wiki, it's right on the left hand nav. Basically, the software just automatically detects if you build a link to something, but there's no content at that link.
Uh-huh.
And then we display them in order of how many links there are. We're actually using the software MediaWiki from the Wikipedia folks.
Oh, that's a great one. MediaWiki.
Yeah, great software, too. I mean, as good as Wikipedia is, that software is really nice.
It is. Fantastic job that they have done.
One of the things that I like about Linux Questions is the hardware database. You know, my dad gave me his old box, you know, that I set up. It's an old 400 megahertz box, and I was looking for a network card for it. I went right to the Linux Questions hardware database, looked in on what people recommended, picked up a GB card for $15, worked like a champ.
Oh, great. Glad to see that it's of some use. Yeah, we try to consistently add some new features just to kind of keep things fresh. So, good to see when they get used.
So now, with the LQ Radio, like when I think of Linux Questions, I say, if I have a question, I want to go to Linux Questions and get my question answered. Are you going to incorporate that into LQ Radio? Is this going to be something where you're going to have a segment where people could call in and ask questions or IRC in and ask questions? Or are you just going to go with more like the news angle?
The format that we're probably looking at now is going to be the first half of the show will be, you know, news that the panel discusses. And then we probably will take some questions maybe via email and answer them. And then the second half is going to be most likely an interview, you know, or a guest. The problem with the live questions is I foresee too many Skype problems too consistently for it to be to my liking.
I hear what you're saying.
Hey, if you got
if
the cash.
Skype straightens out where it's really that easy and it always works every time, I certainly wouldn't be averse to the idea. But I mean, like happened today with us, I have no idea what the problem was because Echo 123 I heard worked for you and it worked for me, but the first time we tried to call, you know, it just didn't hook up for whatever reason.
I called my cousin in Iraq. He's in the military with Skype, and it worked fine.
I think that's really the killer feature of Skype is that you can really be anywhere and keep in touch with people.
Have they talked about, I mean, right now Skype is essentially free if you're calling peer-to-peer over the Internet. But if you call, of course, to a landline, it costs... Really, it's really cheap. Are they going to eventually turn that off, the free aspect of it, and charge you? Have they talked about that yet?
They said they're not.
Turning off P2P?
Well, I mean, right now, like I said, it's free for me to call you over to your computer. Are they going to eventually start charging for that?
Supposedly not.
I think they want money from Skype in and Skype out. I think because they kind of abuse the peer-to-peer people for the other stuff to work, I can't see them not making it free.
That's good.
I mean, anyone who has a public IP on the Skype network kind of does more than their fair share of the load. That's why Skype works behind that.
It's fantastic technology.
It really is pretty impressive when you think about how much... The fact that someone who's behind a netted firewall can call someone else behind a netted firewall. They did do a pretty good job.
It's great.
Well... If there's another option, you know, something a competitor comes along in the future that's open source, you know, I'll gladly switch, you know.
So there's Asterisk.
Have you guys ever used, what's the other one, Linphone?
No.
I think it's SIP-based.
Not yet.
I think that's the only free one. I think NoMeeting supports calling now, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and we were going down the route of NoMeeting to... converse with Load Radio. It never came together with that, but I think Link had spoken with one of the guys at Load Radio via NoMeeting, and it was not as seamless as Skype, and the quality wasn't as good as Skype.
That's another thing. Skype really does well on very low bandwidth connections, where SIP's not quite as forgiving.
Right. We haven't pursued the GNOME meeting aspect of things yet.
I actually looked into it for LQ Radio, and the two problems really that I saw were that, A, it only works on Linux, so a lot of guests that you're going to want to have on the show aren't necessarily going to run Linux.
I don't know about that.
Maybe your show.
Depends on your guests.
I guess it depends what kind of guests you want, but there's some guests I can see not having. Obviously, you or me or someone that we're always going to have a Linux box around, but there are still a segment of the professional world that just doesn't run Linux, especially if they're at work or wherever they may be.
It's foul concerned. It's a good point.
So now, here's a question for you. We ask this a lot of guests we have. Do you prefer the KDE environment, or are you more of the GNOME environment?
Or neither.
You could be neither, but...
I was a Zeemian fan for a long time, and now that they don't run on any of the distributions that I use, I'm not a huge KDE or GNOME user, I guess. I use Flux for the most part.
That's what I use, too, Fluxbox. But, you know, Slackware has kind of dropped... This, you know, going with GNOME and said, if you want to use GNOME, the latest, go get Dropline. And they're focusing more on KDE and XFCE. I was just, you know, what's your feeling on that?
I think, if I remember reading the changelog right, it was more of a time issue than. I think he had some problems consistently compiling GNOME and thought that the Dropline people were doing a good enough job that he didn't feel like he was abandoning GNOME.
But I think hasn't he taken the perspective that from now on he's going to, you know, not focus as much on GNOME and move more with KDE and XFCE? Because 10.1 bills itself as including the KDE and XFCE desktop, and not really mentioning GNOME at all. And my impression was he's going to continue down that route. And let
that was my impression, too.
Yeah, he's making the drop line, you know, the pseudo way to get GNOME into
yeah, Slackware. I think drop line's like pseudo official now, almost. Like, if you want Slackware GNOME, use drop line.
Do you use drop line?
No, I've actually never even installed it.
I did, and quite honestly, it was a seamless install, and it worked really well. My only complaint, and this is nothing against Dropline right now, and they even specifically say it's 4.10.0, not 10.1 yet, was that it downgraded packages. But, again, it's for 10.0, not 10.1 yet, and hopefully 10.1 will be officially supported soon.
I guess that's kind of a byproduct of being pseudo-official and not official, is that they'll always be a little bit behind on new releases.
Right. But I thought they did a great job. There's a couple other groups that are putting out Slackware packages for GNOME.
I always thought it was interesting that Novell bought SUSE, which was a hardcore KDE company, right after they bought Xeemian, which is, you know, obviously a hardcore GNOME company.
A lot of people
seemed like
that.
An odd mixing of companies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the things we asked Nate about, or Nat. About, you know, because SUSE was always a KDE-based application, and now it's
they were the main
GNOME.
KDE developers in SUSE.
Oh, they employed a big chunk of the KDE developers.
I think they fired all of them. they let a lot of them go.
It'll be interesting to see long-term how they support KDE, if they stick with both, or if they...
do a merge, maybe, some kind of a new. Because, you know, Nat's talking about XGL, their own X server, and tying it directly to the hardware. So that might be something to look at in the future, how that all plays out.
I mean, that's a dual-edged sword, XGL, with having...
You need a fast video card.
Plus, you also need the vendor, if they're not going to release the specs for their video card, to produce a driver.
Yeah. It sounds like they're kind of going to do some kind of an agreement or something in the future with probably NVIDIA. I mean, of the two main video card vendors, NVIDIA is the one that's been more consistent and more, you know, reliable in releasing, you know, drivers for Linux. You know, ATI, from what I hear, has been pretty bad.
ATI actually got better recently. I actually, for years, reading all the NVIDIA posts at Linux Questions, I went out and bought one when I bought a new PC just to see, you know, what all the kind of commotion was about, and I didn't think the install was quite that bad. Although it really is a pain every time you upgrade the kernel to have to recompile the module.
Yeah, it's a pain.
The NVIDIA, yeah, but you got to run that installer.
Every time.
Yeah. But, I mean, beyond that, the install really is straightforward, but a lot of people seem to have a problem with it.
My only... When I was really keeping up with the kernel releases, you can have a tendency for the NVIDIA drivers to break.
Well, they broke with that 4K stacks thing. That was the problem that I had.
Right, they can break, and then you got to do some wonky workarounds and hacks until NVIDIA releases a driver that works with the latest kernels.
Reminds me of when I first tried to install Linux on an old Dell laptop back in like 1998. They didn't even have a version of X3 for a laptop. You had to jump through hoops just to get X working.
So what was your guys' first distro? Was
Red,
it all Slackware?
Red Hat.
Oh.
Red Hat 5.
Actually, you know, first fully functioning distro for me was SUSE. That was easiest to get me run. I did run Slackware. I ran Red Hat, but it wasn't functioning as well as SUSE did for me when I jumped over to SUSE for a little bit, and then right to Slackware.
Jump right in.
I got to learn how to use it.
I had an old, really, really early version of Slackware when I first tried it. It didn't do anything. The X didn't work because, you know, the computer I had salvaged from the garbage bin, basically.
Diver Allen.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were throwing it out of work. I just happened to make sure my car was next to the dumpster. That was all. But, you know, I basically had nothing more than the command line. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I dropped it and went back, unfortunately, to Windows, and then picked up the Red Hat and went from there.
I was big into Debian for a while.
Yeah, I'm still a pretty big Debian fan. For servers, at least. their releases are so far behind that it's kind of unusable for a desktop, but if you have a server, it just always works.
Yeah, well, you know, distros like Ubuntu and you know, whatever, Mepis, and, you know, they're picking up where you know, Debian is dropping off.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
the one killer feature about Debian that, for some reason, like Red Hat and Fedora still cannot get this right, is you can apt-get from one release to another, and it's supported. And they're one of the only distros that continually supports that, and it always works, and I've never really had a big problem with it.
I never had problems with it either. I mean, I remember doing
it. For a remote server, that's a killer feature.
It's nice. You know, apt-get should be, you know, the default package management system, in my opinion.
What, not RPM?
Well, you have apt-get for RPM. Fedora has
it. Bad, straight RPM. No apt-get, yum crap. Just straight RPM.
Yum.
Right? Nothing beats RPM. What was your first distribution?
Yggdrasil.
Okay. Wow.
Came with that big green book.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I probably used that for a couple of months, and then I went to Slack.
I have a copy of that book, I think, somewhere around here.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to Patrick at the last Linux World, and for the last couple of years at the San Francisco one, we've kind of been his official home. He'll come down and sit down with us for a while. And I was telling him, you know, I started with Yggdrasil, not Slackware. And the next day he bought in this big, the history of Yggdrasil and all this stuff. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you still talk to him at all, Jeremy?
I chat with him every once in a while, not too consistently, but I try not to bother him too much.
How's he doing lately?
Health-wise, I mean, I don't know the details of that. I assume he's getting better. He's posting the changelog more, so.
That's good.
I keep trying to get a public interview with him, and he just,
he's very
averse to the public.
He hasn't done an interview like in 10 years.
Oh, forever. But when he's at Linux World, you know, I've talked like 3 hours straight with him, but as far as like anything on the record, it's just not. He kind of shies away from the public, which you gotta respect it, you know. But yeah, I can't remember the last interview I saw with him.
Hey, as long as he keeps putting out great distribution, you know, whatever he wants to do is fine with me.
I think there's still something to be said about a distro that, at the end, one guy made a decision that kind of has a coherence that some of the other ones don't have because, you know, 400 people put it together.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's part of what I've always liked about Slackware.
Yeah, it's...
That Mepis distro, we talked to a guy last week, Warren Woodford. He does the whole thing by himself. It's crazy. It's amazing that he does it all by himself.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of work.
I can't imagine.
Hopefully they'll be joining us very soon, too, actually.
He said something
talking
about
to the last couple weeks.
A cold day in hell. I don't know.
Jeremy.
No,
<Gunn.
laughs> no, that'd be great if he does. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like they are. I know they're talking it over now internally, but should happen fairly soon. Which I think we'll have like the top six distros from DistroWatch will all participate then, so that'll be cool.
Wait a minute. Who's he talking over internally with if he's the only guy?
He does have a couple people.
Oh, okay.
He has a guy that doesn't do any programming, but he helps with like the PR and the community-based stuff. So he's the one talking over with Warren.
See, I can't see how, you know, getting on Linux questions would not be a PR boost. To me, that would be...
Oh, especially for the smaller distributions, it's huge. And a lot of them that had a forum, like some of the smaller distros, will actually drop their forum and just use us. Because moderating a forum, if you're trying to concentrate on being a distribution and doing releases and all that stuff, I mean, it's just extra work that really doesn't gain you anything.
It's cheaper and easier just to use you.
Right, so you move the forum over to us, we do all the moderation and all that stuff, and they still maintain a fair amount of control and can post whatever they want there. And I know, like, for Amigo, it's worked out fantastic. But I'm trying to think how many smaller distros have done that, just made us their only official forum. But it's more than a couple.
Why not?
And that being said, if anyone is listening from a distribution that doesn't have a forum currently but would want one, every distribution is welcome, really, no matter how big or small or you know, whether you have a forum or you don't, you're still definitely welcome at UpQ. we go through great pains to be kind of distribution agnostic.
So you have such an open and welcoming site. What is not welcome at LQ Radio?
What is not welcome?
Yes, what is not welcome at LQ Radio?
I can't really think of anything. I've even talked to someone from Microsoft, I think.
Are we going to see a Microsoft forum on there soon?
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, go to windowsquestions.org.
Oh, okay.
It's a fantastic site. I highly recommend it.
Do you run that site, too?
It's just a redirect to LQ.
That's good.
What better help? If you have a Windows problem, what better help than installing Linux, really?
That's a good one. I'm surprised that someone hasn't complained about that yet.
Every once in a while, we'll get someone that registers just a bitch about it, but it's pretty rare.
The hell's wrong with you?
I'm surprised I haven't got a letter from Microsoft yet, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm surprised they let that go.
It has nothing to do with that Windows. It's just, you know, the Windows in your house, if you have a question about those.
X Windows.
Go with Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pella.
That's good. Can you get Microsoft.com to redirect here? Or is there a Microsoft.org?
I would assume it just redirects to Microsoft.com.
Probably.
I don't know. Mine's just spinning and spinning and spinning. That can't be. Nobody's ever resolved. No. I got a. It can't be found.
Dan Quick.
Can you imagine doing that? Wonder what kind of legal problems you'd face.
They'd probably sue you.
You think?
Yeah. They go after you.
I'm going to register it and call myself Jeremy.
Jeremy Garcia.
And redirect it to linuxquestions.org.
There you go. Well, after they sued that guy named Mike Rowe, I'm sure they'd sue you pretty quick.
Yeah. Nobody's done that. Should I be stupid and do that?
I'll go for it, Dan.
Why not?
Just redirect it to the tech show site.
Yeah. Yay. That's great. Well, you know what, Jeremy? I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
Sure, anytime.
We're going to let you go, because what time is it over there? What time is it
He's
here?
In Buffalo. It's the same thing.
It's almost 10:30.
He's
here,
in what?
So.
You're in Buffalo, right?
That's correct.
Oh, I thought you were out in California.
Buffalo.
Why was I thinking you were in California?
Sunny Buffalo, New York.
Oh, you're not that far from us. Wow.
It's pretty far.
What city are you guys in?
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
No, it's not that far at all.
No, we're about 4 hours, maybe, if that.
I would have thought it was actually even less than that, yeah.
3.5, maybe.
3.5. Well, okay, 3.5.
You do 80.
Yeah, that half-hour difference. Woo! Get a lunch in on there, huh? But, yeah, that's, I don't know.
We'll have to get a Linux conference going halfway in between the two cities.
That's it. You know what? There was
Erie?
No, not Erie. Central Pennsylvania Linux Users Group out there in Harrisburg did a security conference a couple weeks ago. They did a phenomenal job putting this thing on. It was beautiful. They had, like, you know, professionals. They had Novell people coming in, professional security speakers come in. And that was just, it was a phenomenal presentation they put on. It would be great to be able to pull something together like that.
Should do the Northeast Lug Conference.
Yeah, somewhere halfway between Buffalo and Bethlehem. What's halfway? Scranton. I don't know.
Scranton. Jersey City.
Binghamton.
Jersey City.
Actually, I was just in Pennsylvania about a week ago.
Where were you in Pennsylvania?
I was at Bradford visiting the Zippo plant.
Okay. Where's Bradford?
That place is amazing, I have to say.
Is that what is that the Zippo lighter plant? Oh, okay. Never been there. Alan, why aren't you taking us there? Hey, if you come down to Bethlehem, you can get a tour of either the Crayola factory or...
Well, they're building the Industrial Museum. That should be something cool to see.
Yeah, well, but what's the candy place? Just Born Candies.
Yeah.
Or the Stroh's factory. Is that still giving tours?
They're doing... What are they doing there now? Some malt liquor or something?
I don't know. You get some cheap beer.
Shitty beer.
And crayons. Cheap beer and crayons. What more could you ask for? And candy. Mike and Ike's. All you can there eat Mike go. And Ike's. And Peeps.
We'll talk about it. We'll keep in touch. Maybe we could set something up. We'll organize something maybe with the New York Lug people. Maybe we could do something. I think it would be a cool thing.
Sure, yeah. I think it would be cool to get a couple lugs together. I mean, there's a Buffalo lug, too. We could probably...
And the Philadelphia people.
Yeah, listen to Pat just totally ignoring the Buffalo lug. Like, yeah, New York must mean New York lug. Or
nah.
Long Island lug.
New York City.
Or Albany lug. Is there an Albany lug?
Sure there is.
Probably.
Lafayette College has a lug down. Do you know that?
They do?
Yeah, I found out today.
Yeah. What the hell?
And they don't come to our meetings either.
I invited
well, we might as well be called Moravian lug if we meet there anyhow. Anyway, yeah, Jeremy, I want to thank you very much for coming on. Hopefully we can talk to you again soon in the very near future. You're doing a fantastic job with Linux Questions.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Bravo. Appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
No, thank you. We thank you for coming on. And, you know, definitely, maybe we could start talking off air, you know, corresponding. Maybe we could probably pull something together, you know, lug-wise.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
That would be a great idea.
All right.
Good luck with your show.
Yeah, and I look forward.
Thanks, guys. Good luck with the show.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yep, bye.
Well, that was Jeremy.
That was an hour.
You got anything else to talk to?
Yeah, I
can keep talking.
We got some stuff. You know, one of the things that was brought up a little while ago, and maybe
Alan wants to go. You can leave now.
I got to get up at 3.
So do I.
Me? I'm off tomorrow.
I'm going to work later.
Thursday,
no wonder
Friday,
you're
I'm
boozing.
Yeah, of course.
I'll keep talking.
One of the things I wanted to bring up is there was an article that was posted on NewsForge earlier this week, but it wasn't an official NewsForge article. It was a link. I'm going to post a link on the chat right there. It talked about Microsoft's up-and-coming release of Internet Explorer 7. And the big thing that they had said about Internet Explorer 7 is, you know, face it, it's still not going to be CSS 2.0 standards compliant.
What a surprise.
Yeah. And if you actually go to the article that I was talking about, I mean, you have every place that you go, if you go online, even in books, all right, anything that you read about modern web page design, there is always a comment in there and a complaint over and over again, time and again, by website designers, developers, that it is such a hassle to have to design a website because you essentially have to design two sites. You design, you know, the compliant site with W3 standards, with CSS2 standards. Just let's face it, W3C standards. That works in Safari, Conqueror, Opera, Mozilla, Fire, you know, any Mozilla-based browser. And then you have
Internet Explorer.
Everything, you know, you have to design for Internet Explorer. And it is such a nightmare. And which, interesting, is time and again you hear developers complaining about this. And what caught me about, particularly about this article, is if you go on... it's actually not the second, but I think it was the third page. When you take the designers, the people who develop the sites out of the picture, and quoting Michael Cherry, a senior analyst at Directions on Microsoft, believes that the software giant's biggest focus will be on security issues with features and standards supporting taking a back seat. He basically says there really is not a groundswell of experts or analysts saying that customers should abandon Internet Explorer because it doesn't support tab browsing or comply fully with CSS specifications. Now, my opinion into that comment right there, I think one of the reasons that somebody like this, an analyst, could look and say, well, we haven't had a groundswell of complaints that we don't support Internet Explorer from or CSS from customers. I think it's largely because, by and large, you know, the customers out there are hidden from the fact that Microsoft
doesn't support it.
Right,
yeah.
Doesn't support it because website designers have to code twice.
Yep.
They have to code sites for everybody but Internet Explorer and
then
for Microsoft Internet Explorer. They have to go through some wonky hacks so that Internet Explorer displays the sites properly. And, you know, one of the things I have noticed, you know, particularly, we use Novell at work, and Novell puts out some pretty good portal software. And what I noticed that is Mozilla, their portal software, we use as Virtual Office. It displays in one of two ways. If you are using a Mozilla-based browser, it uses CSS. And, you know, CSS doesn't use table layout. It uses pretty much a pure CSS layout. If you are using Internet Explorer, it is a table-based layout because you can't get the same layout in Internet Explorer that you can in Mozilla using pure CSS.
Drives it crazy, doesn't it?
It's too complicated to mess around with all those wonky hacks. I honestly think that, you know, security-wise, and just the fact that Internet Explorer sucks when it comes to standard support should be the reason why developers should move more towards Firefox, towards Mozilla, and really, you know, start excommunicating Internet Explorer users.
They should. I mean, Internet Explorer only runs on Windows, you know. Mozilla runs on every platform. Opera runs on all the different platforms. Well, if I was a web developer, I would say, okay, if I develop, where do I want to go? Just for the Microsoft users, or I want to develop for everybody else in the world? I would go with the other option. Develop for every single platform.
That's what I try and teach people when I talk to them about website design. And you know, when I was working on the Linux Link website, I know right off the bat, if you go to the Linux Link website on Internet Explorer, first and foremost thing you're going to see is an ugly PNG at the top because Internet Explorer doesn't support transparencies on PNGs. And I said, you know, fuck them. I don't care. Just like Alan would say.
Dan drops the F-bomb.
That's right.
Alan drops it. Fuck it.
Yeah, you
Let's
know.
Go for the trifecta. fuck it.
You know what else got me?
I guess we won't be on Tech Podcast.
What got me is I sat there and I said, you know, and a couple weeks ago I said, you know, I never really knew that if you provide margin auto onto the body that it will center the body of the text in the page. Yes, it will do that. In Mozilla, Firefox, Mozilla-based browsers, it will not do that on Internet Explorer. It will not center the text on the page. I learned that the hard way. When, you know, you actually have to tell the body tag to be centered, the text, text alignment to be centered, so that everything gets centered. Then you have to have another division underneath the body.
It's so redundant.
A class that you have to set it so that. Now everything in that block is now in has an auto margin or whatever, and then is left aligned that way. And I didn't know you had to go that extra
pain
step.
In the ass.
That's all because of Internet Explorer. And I'm talking out my ass now. Anyway, it really, really sucks. Internet Explorer 7 will not support CSS standards, which means again we're forced to have to code for two different browser platforms. Everybody else in Internet Explorer.
Firefox. It's the answer, man.
That's the way it is.
It's the way it should be.
Right, but you know what? That's the sad thing. Firefox is a better browser.
It is.
Far better browser.
Way better.
It's 100. Opera's a better browser.
Yeah.
Safari's a better
Conquer browser. Is a better browser.
Conquer's, okay, but we can't take Conquer and we can't take Safari because they really don't run on Windows yet. But you got Mozilla, you got Firefox, you got Opera, all these other alternatives. But you know what? Internet Explorer is the one that comes with operating system. Internet Explorer is the one that works with AOL. And you know what? I don't use Netscape, and personally, I don't really care much about Netscape. But from what I heard, and again, this I think my information is coming from Infonomicon, because I'm not that up on Netscape, is that Netscape has now implemented a trusted site feature. Whereas if the site is a trusted site, it will render it in Internet Explorer. If it's not a trusted site, it will render it in Firefox. Why? Why even go down that route of Internet Explorer? But I think part of the reason why is now you will have ActiveX compliance if you render it with Internet Explorer.
ActiveX is the worst freaking thing that you can have on a website. It's a security risk. It slows your machine down. Why would you want to have ActiveX components on a website? Doesn't make sense.
Because they're in front page.
That, you know, it's, and that's the thing about it. And front page, we encourage people not to use front page at work.
But it's easy.
You know what's easy? And this is really, this blows me away. You know what's easy? And we actually have people teaching this. You can export a Word document to HTML, right?
Yeah.
But then, and I've seen this time and again, and I don't know why this happens. You export that Word document in HTML, and you put it up on a website, and you look at it in Mozilla, looks fine. You look at it in Internet Explorer, and all of a sudden it falls apart. You have the little comment
tags
in there that are actually allow, I guess they're supposed to be hacks that allow certain things to display a different way in Internet Explorer, actually come through, and you see all these comment tags in there for some reason, and it's really odd. And it's like, you know, the first time person, you know, says to me, I don't understand why this is going on, you have to go back in and delete all those comment tags. And once you do that, it displays fine in Internet Explorer. Mozilla, Firefox, don't miss a beat. And I would assume Opera doesn't miss a beat either. But that, you know, that sucks.
I got a topic.
Wait, let me finish one thing before you get on your topic while we're talking about this. And the next thing that sucks is Dreamweaver. I don't like Dreamweaver. I don't know. They still use Internet Explorer as a rendering engine. It's a, you know, in some respects it's great, but I want to make a comment about MVU again, because I mentioned MVU. MVU has just released their 1.0 release candidate 2 or 3, whatever it is, and it's really, they're making some really fantastic strides. And a WYSIWYG website development application that hopefully is going to eventually catch up and, you know, smack down Dreamweaver. Because as an open
source... Who puts that out? That's Linspire, isn't it?
It is Linspire, but it's based on the code Netscape Composer. They have taken Netscape,
the old Netscape
Composer.
Base.
Or actually Mozilla Composer, I'm sorry. Mozilla Composer, they've taken it to
made
next
it easy
level.
To use. And
well, it was easy to use to begin with, but they've added a whole lot of features. You got PHP support. You got CSS, really fantastic CSS support.
I have to check it out.
You have... XHTML support now. They've included the wizards are far better for adding tables and stuff. And form support has been added, which differentiates it from Composer. So they've really done a great job of taking an already good application and building upon it.
I'll have to check it out.
So, you know, definitely give NVU a look-see. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
Hey, you guys are into sci-fi, right? I know Alan's a big sci-fi fan. I'm a big sci-fi fan. What do you guys think of the new Battlestar Galactica?
I've only seen it twice because it's on Friday nights, and I usually forget about it.
I unfortunately have not seen an episode yet, and I've really wanted to.
What I've seen is really good. I know Link records it all the time.
I think it's great. They were really radical. The guy, the main guy who's doing it is Ronald D. Moore. He was a writer on Deep Space Nine, some of the Next Generation episodes towards the end, and he's run with it. I mean, he totally revamped the show. A lot of the old diehard Battlestar Galactica people, believe it or not, they are out there. They were screaming heresy because, oh my God, Starbuck is now a woman, Boomer is a woman. Oh my God, they're not continuing the old original storyline. It's something completely different. And to be honest, when I first heard about it, I thought it was going to suck. I said, this is going to be a piece of shit.
Well, you know, the only thing, the few that I've seen, the one thing that sort of annoys me with it is a lot of the scene, at least the one I saw, and I saw it a couple weeks ago, is it looks like it's filmed in a handy cam. You know, somebody's holding the camera in their hand.
They did that on purpose, though, yeah. For like the space shots where they're outside.
This was an interior shot. It was really annoying to like be looking at the scene, but it looks like somebody's holding a camera in their hand.
I think you could blame the Blair Witch crap project for that.
I mean, I don't know if that's the way it is in everything, but
worst,
you know,
movie
all of them.
Ever. But I think it's really great. I think what sets it apart from, like, you know, I'm an old Star Trek fan going back. I love the original series.
Deep Space Nine.
The Next Generation was good. Even Deep Space Nine was decent, okay? But I think later on with Voyager and Enterprise, they got too much wrapped up in the techno babble, you know? They would come upon...
Enterprise got good. Unfortunately, it only got good because they're canceling it.
I know. The last season's been the best season, but it's gone, you know? You know, they get
Although,
too...
they got to kill that fucking song.
Russell Watson?
Yeah.
Well, it's gone. I think what Star Trek's problem was, they got too wrapped up in the techno babble. With Battlestar Galactica, it's more about the storylines. It It's about the writing. It's about the character-driven arcs, the interaction between the different characters. You know, it's like Star Wars. You know, the last couple of movies with George Lucas. You know, the special effects are amazing, you know, but it's a crap movie. The writing sucks. You know, you got to have good writing.
He doesn't like Star Wars.
You know, I agree with Pat. I think episode one and two of Star Wars.
Yeah, they were pretty.
I think with Star Wars that it's not that the movies, you know, that the story sucked. It's that
the dialogue.
That we're older.
The story could have been so much better. The whole movie could have been
so
much better.
The dialogue is terrible.
Right. The dialogue's horrible. The writing was horrible. But the potential was there to be a whole lot
but
better.
But we're all going to go see the third episode. Yeah,
of course.
Of course.
And we're watching, of course, you're watching Clone Wars, aren't you?
Yes.
Of course. The second season is out now.
Are they out on DVD, though?
I got to see those. I saw a few of them. They look good.
No, this is why I didn't expect them to release the DVD. The Clone Wars DVD supposedly has the entire run, Clone Wars 1 and this Clone
and
Wars 2. Well,
okay.
And they released it yesterday. But Clone Wars 2 isn't actually airing. The first episode aired Monday, and this week is when they're airing the first, you know, the run, and then Saturday they have the full, all the episodes combined.
Okay.
So they're airing it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Saturday is the combination. Would they have them all?
Gotta set up the DVD player for that one.
So some of the guys in the chat room are saying that Battlestar Galactica tries too hard to be sexy. Yeah, they're going for the sex factor.
Like Lex.
Oh, that was an all bad show, man. Do you actually watch that?
I've seen a couple episodes.
You're never going to get that time back, Dan.
Yeah, well.
You should have been spending time with your kids.
You can say that about a lot of TV, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap out there. Yeah, Battlestar Galactica, it isn't perfect, but for what's out these days, I think it's pretty good. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, like any episode of Sliders after...
Sliders was a great show.
It was a great show, but when they put it on the Sci-Fi Channel,
it was downhill.
And they, you know, it's
after
really
John Reese Davis left, that was all downhill after that. It was a great show in the beginning. It was a cool concept.
Yeah, too bad. And too bad it went. Freaks and Geeks, man. Did you ever watch that?
I never
show?
Watched that.
That was a great show too. Dead.
You know what's a great show? You guys are gonna laugh at me, but my wife actually got me into it. It's kind of a chick show. Is Gilmore Girls.
That's just because you want to get laid.
Okay.
No, it's actually a very...
And with that, it's time to close the show.
It's a very witty show.
It's
actually a really good show.
I've never watched it. Is
no,
that on the WB?
My wife watches that,
yes.
And I can't...
Is that before
I
after
can't even
Dawson's
stay in
Creek.
The same room. That show is so fucking annoying. It's
what show?
Friends Gilmore? Was annoying, Alan.
What?
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
I like it.
Pat's new show.
I like it. Call me all you want. Laugh all you want. I think it's a great show.
It's terrible.
Nobody,
unless you're like that coked out on speed, talks like that.
I agree.
Wait a minute.
The dialogue
you know what,
is
what
spooky.
I don't understand is you're talking about watching the Gilmore Gang. Girls. Gilmore Gang. Gilmore Girls. And Alan's over here complaining about how they talk. I've never seen an episode.
Yeah,
so there must
and
be
you are extremely lucky.
There must be something going on over here with Alan.
Kent saying Babylon 5 was a great show. Did you guys ever watch Babylon 5? That was a fantastic
series. Unfortunately, no.
Never got into it.
I would like to have seen it, but you know, it always appeared to me something that if you didn't get into it from the beginning,
you lost.
It wasn't worth getting into at
all.
The
problem with that show is they kept changing when it was on, especially toward the end.
What was it on? Was that on TBS or something?
It was on like three different stations at like nine different times.
What the problem was they didn't know they were going to have a fifth season.
No, they knew exactly how that guy knew, and I can't remember the guy that created it.
Michael Straczynski.
Yeah. He knew that he was running that thing for 5 years exactly.
But he didn't know whether or not they would get to that fifth season.
Well, he never knew that, but he kept the storyline running that five years.
It was cool. The first four seasons were great of that show. I enjoyed it. They had some really interesting concepts. They went places where Star Trek would never go. The universe was much more grittier, dirtier. You know, it seemed more realistic in a lot of ways. Supposedly, what I read was that he pitched that show to Paramount. They told him no, and then they turned around and did Deep Space Nine, which was supposedly a knockoff of Babylon 5 in the beginning. That's what they said.
What else are you watching there, Pat, besides Gilmore Girls?
What else
do I watch?
He's
going to be breaking into soap opera.
No, I watch Mail Call.
Well, there's General Hospital. And
no, I'm not into soaps. I'm not into soaps. Orly Emery, you ever watch that? The guy from...
The O.C.
No, I'm not into that. Mail Call is a great show.
Anything on Fox.
You'll watch Mail Call?
What's Mail Call?
Mail Call is the show on
History Channel.
With the guy, Arlie Emery, who's the guy who played the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, I've seen episodes
He's
of Mail
great.
Call. That's a great show.
It's a great show.
You know, just about anything they put on, like History, Discovery, or the Learning Channel is pretty good. Except Learning Channel. You know what? The Learning Channel was, they always had these great documentaries on it, like the animal stuff and stuff out, you know, really great stuff and history stuff. And then, like, but now you're watching this, like, oh, it's a Bride's Tale and a Baby Story.
That's TLC.
Yeah, the Learning Channel is what I'm saying. And it's like, oh, 24/7.
A lot of crap.
Crap.
A lot of crap. It's all filler.
And, you know, I don't mind watching
Mythbusters.
What?
Mythbusters.
What's wrong with Mythbusters?
No, it just came up on
the hell's
chat.
Wrong with Mythbusters?
American
That's
Chopper.
That's a good show. American Chopper.
It's a funny show. It's funny.
It's okay. And what's the house one?
Monster House.
Monster Garage, not too bad, but they take it too far.
Yeah.
And they play it. They overplay that stuff.
They all do that, though.
And all the great shows, you know.
All commercial media, they take a good concept and they ruin it.
I want to see more about anal probe UFOs. Okay, that's what I want to see.
Why the hell are the aliens sticking things up people's asses?
Give me more of those. I want to see that. Not enough. No more of this Monster Garage. No. Give me anal probe UFOs.
Dan, admit it. You watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
I like that show, actually. I bought some product.
Yeah,
okay?
You ever seen the goof on the Comedy Channel?
I have seen Straight Eye for the Queer Guy,
that is so funny.
The one thing I don't like about Straight Eye for the Queer Guy is they seem to only have 3 damn episodes out there.
I don't think they're making them anymore.
They keep playing the same damn ones.
Oh, man.
I don't like that.
Have you watched Chappelle lately?
Chappelle's all reruns. They don't have a new season
come
out yet.
No, no.
I don't know. It's the third season. I have the first season on
DVD.
Me
too. It's
great.
That's
good, yeah. I want to get the second one.
Funny shit.
I like the uncut ones. How the song, you know, they play it uncut.
I like Negrodamus, the Black Nostradamus.
Yeah. Now, did you know that in the first episode of the first season where they had the copy, they spoofed on the copy? Center, it was, what was the copy called?
That's right, the Linux
they
reference.
They actually referenced Linux.
I remember
that,
yeah.
So that was a hidden Linux. Look at Alan falling asleep. He was like,
Alan,
why did he keep going on?
Alan, I have to get up early.
Shut up. He's got to go home and watch his Gilmore Girls and he TiVo'd.
I think it's a great show. It's different. That's all I have to say. You can call me gay all you want. I'm happily married. I have a son.
You know what I watched this past weekend? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. On the Fox, 4 Kids.
Is it as bad as I remember it?
I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, it was one of those episodes where Donatello got bumped into the future by the bad guy. And, of course, when always you have a future
episode.
The ninja
episode,
guy? Huh?
The ninja
no,
guy?
Not Shredder. Somebody else. I forget the guy's name. It was a newer guy. But he got bumped into the future. Not somebody from the old school Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He got bumped into the future. And, of course, everybody's, like, dead and destroyed. The turtles are, like, defeated. Donatello disappeared. What's the rat's name?
Master Blaster.
Their sensei's dead. He got killed. All right.
Oh, 300 years in the future.
Only, like, 40 years in the future or something like that. Michelangelo and Raphael aren't talking to each other anymore because they had a big falling out. One of them lost an arm. One of them lost an eye. They all die by the end of the episode, which is wild. They all get destroyed, devastated, shot, sliced up, killed. I was like, wow, this is on the Fox box. All the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles die.
They're all dead.
And the coolest way was the way Donatello killed Shredder. He cruised in there. In the Shredder's hideout, underground through this huge drilling machine, came up there. He positioned it so that Shredder had him up against the drill bit, and he was in this, like, exoskeleton. And the turned on the machine, the drill bit went right through his exoskeleton. Donatello got out and went right through Shredder, this huge drill bit. And I'm like, yeah, that's great.
And that was the end.
That was it. Then he went back to the present and everything was back to normal.
You know what was a really bad show? I my Myth TV, I recorded on Sci-Fi Channel.
Heroes in the House.
Show. No. 3 o'clock in the morning. The old Buck Rogers show with Gil Gerard from the early 80s.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, my God. It was so bad. I don't remember it being that awful. It was so bad. Twiki was so goddamn annoying. The only thing that made that show worth watching was seeing
the chick.
Erin Gray when she was about 26 in those spandex outfits.
That was all that show was for.
That's all that was worth it. It was awful. It was so bad. The effects were cheesy. The writing was atrocious. It was bad.
But most of the TV shows from that era was.
You know, I don't remember it as a kid. I don't remember it being that bad.
Because you were nine, you know. At nine, nothing looks bad.
You're right.
It's like, wow, I can stay up that late.
Yeah, Erin Gray. Wonder Woman. Erin Gray was a hottie. She was on Silver Spoons, too.
Linda Carter was my first crush, man. She was so hot. Wonder Woman?
Here we go. That is
so hot.
First we hit the Gilmore Girls, now he's talking about Linda Carter.
I was 8 years old, man. Linda Carter was smoking.
She was. You have the Wonder Woman DVD box set yet?
No.
Season 1's out. I think season 2 was just released, too.
Supposedly they're making a movie of that.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah, they're going to make a Wonder Woman movie. I don't know if I'd go see it, but...
I would see it. I love comic book movies.
You saw Catwoman, didn't you?
No.
That was a piece of crap.
What's the one coming out April 1st?
Supposedly it was a piece of crap. What?
What's that movie coming out April 1st?
The Life and Times of Alan Metzler.
Well, that's my birthday, but... No, there's a movie coming out, and I can't remember what the hell it is. I thought it was based on a comic book.
Yes, the original Battlestar Galactica was cheesy. That was another show that you remember being cool, that it was kind of lame.
I don't think anything's coming out in April 1st, is there? Comic book movie wise, the only upcoming comic book movies that I know
Fantastic of, Four.
Well, it's Fantastic Four, but
No, maybe I'm thinking something else. It's late.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's coming out at the end in sometime in April.
Isn't there going to be a new Doctor Who too? They released it supposedly on the internet on a BitTorrent. And then winds up, it was actually the show.
Oh, Sin City.
Sin City.
Yeah.
Sin City, that's
Frank Miller.
That looks cool.
Yeah. The wife said to me, do you think that's going to be violent?
Yeah. The one character from...
without saying.
From, what was that movie where...
Road Trip.
Ben Affleck. He was blind. What was that movie?
Daredevil.
The character from Daredevil.
Elektra.
No, the guy. What's his name? The big black dude. What's his name?
Ben Rames? No. What was his name?
Michael Duncan Clark.
He was a guy that was... Wasn't he in... he was in... Pulp Fiction.
No, that was Ving Rhames.
Yeah, he was in Ving Rhames.
Michael Duncan Clark was the really big guy from...
He played the Kingpin.
Right, Kingpin. I think that's the same character.
I don't know.
It might be.
Which is, you know, honestly, I don't know why they made the Kingpin black in Daredevil.
The movie?
I don't know why.
I never read that comic when I was a kid.
I read that. I like that a lot. I was like, why? It just doesn't make any... He's not black in the comic book. Why?
Rowan Atkinson is going to be Doctor Who? Are you kidding me?
Who?
Rowan Atkinson. Mr. Bean?
You know, I heard of something about that. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Where's Rowan Atkinson done since Mr. Bean?
He did Blackadder for a while. That was before Mr. Bean, I think. Blackadder.
What was that?
That was an English show. It was like set in medieval times.
Can't say I ever saw it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Roar?
Yeah, I remember that.
They only have like 8 episodes.
They show that on Sci-Fi occasionally.
Yeah, there's supposed to be 2 episodes that Sci-Fi never showed, but they were supposed to. But the only 2 episodes that were never aired or something like that.
There was a movie that they played it yesterday, Riverworld. That looked like that was going to be a pilot, but they never... did the series for it. That looked like it had possibilities.
Wasn't that an Atari game? Oh, no, that was Waterworld.
Waterworld. I remember that.
Remember Earthworld,
yes,
Fireworld?
Dirt World.
Oh, those games suck
so
bad. So
bad. 8-bit Atari games.
An impossible to solve puzzle that made no sense, but somebody solved it.
Yeah.
Those old Atari games, the one that I was into was Venture. Remember that one?
That was...
You get the key and you go in the secret room.
Big game, yeah. The ColecoVision one was better, but none of them compared to the arcade one. He had the little guy with the arrow. It looked like the little guy from, was it Berserk? Little happy face from Berserk that came bouncing up. Came down.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he had the little arrows.
The arrow.
Arrows this way. He had the snakes, the mummies, and the rats. That was a good game. I guess we better close this up.
I'm all talked out.
Alan's going to fall asleep here. And he's got, and the weather really stinks. Oh, he's brought up the Raiders of the Lost Arcade. Did you ever play that
yes.
game? Oh,
that
I hated
sucked.
That game. Remember the idiot they had? They had, like, the guy over the corner. If you walk close to him, he had this, like, invisible barrier that killed you.
Yeah.
And you just kept dying because you were right next to it.
Horrible game.
But nothing was as bad as E.T.
E.T. was so bad. The little phone.
No, E.T. was so bad. supposedly that game is the worst selling game ever in history, and they had to
they printed like 3 million copies
of
it.
Yeah, they had to landfill like tons of them out in the desert somewhere.
Yeah, that's great.
Like,
oh.
To bury them all.
I think we're done.
Yeah. All right. We better get going.
I'm
going
to go home and watch Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, Pat's got to. That's his Myth TV box is filled up with
Myth.
Myth Gilmore Girls. Mythmore Girls.
Mythmore Girls.
Yeah.
And Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
And the Wiggles.
I love the Wiggles. The Wiggles are
If anybody has, like, young kids, you know who the Wiggles are.
Yeah, I love the Wiggles.
I have a rule in my house. No Barney.
I don't mind Barney. I like
Satan.
I like Barney. I like the Wiggles a lot, though.
The Wiggles are better.
Barney must die.
Oh, I hate Barney.
What are you talking about, Alan? What do you know about Barney?
Enough that I couldn't stand him.
So is this the longest show we've ever done?
I don't know. I think we're still in line with how many.
No, we're still in line with the hour and a half. We just started.
Yeah, we just started.
What time did we actually get started? It was about 10.
9 o'clock.
10-2?
Yeah, 10 over 7.
Well, 2 hours plus.
I guess we'll close out with some promo stuff and a song by Joe Turley, Like I Do. Because that's what Link gave me. And you had said that you had some songs to play, and we'll play them next week.
Yeah, we'll get to them whenever.
And, you know what? I got to play Link's Bash Player ad, because if I don't, we'll hear
it. You'll never hear the end of it.
Why did you play my Bash Player ad? It's the only cross-platform podcast by it that works without fault.
Okay, Dad.
All right, so we're going to close things up. Enjoy the promo stuff, and we'll be back with the regular stuff next week, and we'll be starting on time.
Hopefully.
And we'll be back on Bin Rev. Because I won't screw up. And
we got the mixer all set up and ready to go.
Yeah, fantastic thing. A new mixer.
Thank you, Alan, for the nice mixer.
Hey, no problem.
And happy birthday goes out to Alan. Happy birthday to you. In a couple days.
Happy birthday.
Like we're not allowed
42?
To sing that whole
43?
Song. Are we?
42.
The old man of the crew.
Yeah.
Papa.
Alrighty, everybody. Good night.
Thank you very much. And, oh, crap, I lost one. Okay, here's some stuff to listen to, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Hey, good night.
Wah, wah, wah. Aha! Something happened bad there. I don't know what it was. Oh, I know what it was.
More technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Please stand by.
Why didn't he make the Bash Potter ad? I can't play the Bash Potter.
You having problems with Og?
No, I tried playing it. Well, anyway, here we go. MPG. Let's see if Joe Turley works. Yeah, Joe Turley works, but before we play Joe Turley, we'll play a, shut up. Here we go. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
You've heard their show. You've heard them swear. You've heard them talk Linux. You've heard them talk pies. You've heard them swear again. You've even heard the accordion. Now you can touch, poke, prod, and squeeze to your heart's content at Plug Radio Live. Taking place at Malview Stadium, Wolverhampton on Saturday the 25th of June. For more details of how to get there, who's speaking, and where to stay, visit www.plugradio.org/live. Nobody loves you.
like I do, like I do. Nobody needs you like I do. Nobody wants you like I do, like I do. Nobody loves you like I do. You could go off searching all around the world, but you could never find a love like mine.
Like I do, like I do.